I just also wanted to thank Nick last week because, Saturday night when I called him, I said, I won't be able to speak on Sunday morning. He said, I think I have the message. And so it's amazing how, these things happen, right? And he stepped forward. So thank you, Nick, for taking the time to step forward last week. So this week is Pentecost Sunday. And I've titled it, The Spirit Births the Church. In thinking of this Sunday, you can imagine what I thought when I saw this advertisement, right? Oh, it's not even on there. Why isn't it coming? Right, there we go. It's not a blank. It is something, right? Oh, Spirit's Release 2019. You won't want to miss this. Imagine if this was at the time of Jesus and they knew this was coming and they would say, the Spirit's released, 2019. But then if you flip the page, you'll see that there's a glass involved, right? And it's a different kind of spirit, obviously. And there are different kinds of spirits that we have that permeate our lives, that speak to us, that come to us, and the culture is one. And sometimes something like this gets in the way as well. And so we want to talk about the coming of the Holy Spirit today. And we want to talk about birth. And as I was reflecting on this, I was thinking that in every birth of a child, there are a number of factors. So one factor is the anticipation of the birth. And we know that it's 9 months, right? And we know that the anticipation for the mother-to-be is huge. It's always there. Something is different. But I often, as I talk to others, where couples where this is happening, I say, you know what? It takes 9 months to make a dad, too. Because all of a sudden, in this anticipation, the dad relates, or the husband relates to the wife differently, and you recognize there are different needs that come up, and so that's one element of anticipation. Another element of anticipation is that we want to make sure that this baby gets all the help it's needed. If something is not quite right, it is addressed right during this anticipation stage. The anticipation stage is also something that is passed on to the uncles and aunts and friends and parents. And so there's anticipation of the celebration of the coming of this child. And so then the next part is at the birth, there's a birth itself. And this can be a scary time. It can be, we don't know when the birth comes. We had two children. And the birth process was different for both of them. And so this is something you don't know, and you hope that the birth process will be good. The child will be alive, that the child will be well, the mother will be well when this baby comes into this earth. And so it's a beautiful process, but there is a time of some fear, a time of joy, a time of, and after the birth, life is never the same, right? Life is never the same for the couple, because no matter how old this child becomes, this child is always a child of those parents, right? And then the third part is the growth and the health of the new baby through the life cycle. And that is so critical. If the child does not have the nurture and the holding the child and all that goes on those first few weeks and then months and so on, the child will not thrive. You've heard of situations somewhere in South America where the orphanage had so many babies in it, and the babies that survived were the ones that were nurtured and held and talked to. And so we know that nurture is so important. And so all three of these stages are very important in the birth. Anticipation is very important. The birth is very important, and the nurture and the growth of the new baby is very important. So let's take a look at this when we think of the church. In Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 26, we see the anticipation of the birth of the church. So the beginning part of this, Jesus talks to his disciples, and one of the phrases he uses, he says, "You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And I know in church history that phrase kind of brings up some tension because people interpret it differently and the outcomes are different. But basically, I think what he is saying is that the Holy Spirit will come and will be a part of your life, and you will know that you will know the Spirit is part of your life. And so this is what he called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then they asked him a question, and they say, "Will your kingdom now come?" And he says, "That's not for me to tell, but when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." And so this was another part of the anticipation and waiting. And you can imagine if you were there and you're saying, "I don't understand what's going on." There's anticipation. Jesus tells us to wait until the Holy Spirit comes, but we don't know what that looks like. We do know that there's going to be some, whatever baptism of the Holy Spirit means, we do know that we will be witnesses starting right here and moving out to the ends of the earth. Those are the things they knew. So how do they prepare for this? And the anticipation is pretty hard. And it's not clear. And so another thing they realized is that there were only 11 disciples. And they had to choose another one. At least Peter thought they had to. And so Peter says they had to choose one, and they drew straws, and Matthias became the 12th disciple. And 12 is a significant number because there are 12 tribes of Israel, 12 disciples. And I think they thought, well, this is 12. The number 12 is really important. And it kind of pulls in the history of this. However, we don't hear much about Matthias in the book of Acts. We don't hear how much he was involved. It doesn't say he wasn't involved. It just simply means that we don't know how much he was involved. And so these are some of the factors that relate to the anticipation of the Holy Spirit coming. And if we would dig into the Gospels, you would know that Jesus talks about this as well. Jesus talks about when the Spirit comes and so on. So it's not only that this is the time, but Jesus had mentioned this a number of times. So we have that part of the anticipation. Then we look at the birth of the church, the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 41. There is something unique. They start with gathering together in one place. And, you know, one thing unique about Jesus, well, maybe it wasn't so unique, because a lot of the rabbis would have people that would gather around the rabbi. And Jesus had disciples that gathered around him. And so these disciples were in one place. Maybe they were a bit afraid. They didn't know what was coming. They didn't know what to expect. But they were in one place and anticipating something would happen. And then the sound of a mighty wind. So the Holy Spirit is referred to as God's wind, the ruach, the wind. We know that in the Old Testament, we see that in the creation story, the Spirit hovered over the face of the earth. And so there is this sense that the Spirit is something that's very real, but you can't see it. Like the wind is real, but you can't see it unless, of course, there's dust in it or other things in it. But the wind itself, you can't see if it's real, but you know it's there. And the next sign is they had tongues of fire that rested on each person. And fire is an important element in Scripture as well, in the Old Testament. Think of the fire around the burning bush that attracted Moses. And as Moses got closer and closer to this burning bush, God said, "Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground." We know as the children of Israel traveled through the wilderness, they had a cloud by day and a cloud of fire by night, the Shekinah glory. And so fire had something to do with God's work. And so when the tongues of fire appeared on their heads, I think they must have said, wow, this is the work of God. It can't be anything else but the work of God. And then we notice that they spoke in languages that people understood from different countries of the known world. And one thing I forgot to do is take a picture of how that was. It looks all around the Jerusalem, there were arrows coming from the countries that are mentioned in Acts. Countries that people come to celebrate this time of the year, the Feast of Pentecost. And so, strangely enough, they spoke the language. They spoke the language of these people coming from different parts of the world. When you think of that, it's an interesting thought, isn't it? Way back in Genesis, there was a tower that was being built, and because this tower was getting pretty big and people, and so God said, I'm going to change this. I'm going to give them different languages so they don't understand each other. And so all of a sudden they couldn't build the tower anymore. But we come now to the New Testament, and here is a time where their languages were spoken. They could hear what the disciples were saying in their own language. And that's unique, isn't it? That's something about this birthing process that was very unique and very important, very powerful. I'll talk about that in a little bit. And Peter's sermon was a sermon where he called people to repentance and baptism. And if you go to the early ministry of Jesus, what was his message? His message was to repent and be baptized. And so the message that Peter had was the same message that Jesus had when he started his ministry. And so we see there's some similarities to even what God was doing at the birth of the church. And I think that in some ways we could say God had invaded the planet once again in the person of the Holy Spirit, and the church became the person, so to speak, to carry out the mission of Jesus. Think of that. God had invaded the planet again in the person of the Holy Spirit. God invaded the planet in the person of Jesus, and we have the incarnation, and now God has invaded the planet again and saying, I want this message to go on, and it needs to go on in the church. All right, and so that's pretty powerful when you think it, and it gives this responsibility to the church. And then to refer to something else, I mentioned in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, they asked him about restore the kingdom to Israel. And Jesus says, he doesn't answer that formally, but I think he does answer it in a way. He says, it is as if Jesus is saying, I'm going to use you to restore my kingdom. And when it comes, and that kingdom will go to the ends of the earth. The bigger mission is to continue to build the kingdom of God, and God is using the church to do this. Just as Jesus came to establish his kingdom, the church is to continue the mission of Jesus to build the kingdom until he comes to restore it in the end. So that's saying that the kingdom is now, and it goes on until Jesus comes. And so in the birth of the church, there is so much included, so much theology, so much importance in this birth, that it happened well, that it happened right. And then when we think of the growth and the health of the church in chapter 2, verse 42, listen to some of the dynamics that's happening here. And they devoted themselves to apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And then he goes on, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave to everyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together and with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So when we look at this, this is a third part. The first part, the anticipation. The second part was the actual birth itself. And the third part that's so important here is the nurture that happened to keep this going. If there was no nurture, if there was no care given here, we wouldn't be here today. And that's how serious these three steps are, because they need each other to survive, and we need, and for us to be here today, how many years later, we need this to be, this nurture to continue on. And so let's take a look at this with the themes, all right? So following the themes, the anticipation and birth of the church to receive the Holy Spirit. The witness would start in Jerusalem and go to the ends of the earth. The apostles were central to the birth of the church, being a healthy birth. And so that's the anticipation part. The birth part, in the birth of the church, the Holy Spirit did come in wind and fire and language. And the Jews from the known world heard about Jesus in their own language, that Jesus was crucified, that he lived, he was crucified, he rose from the dead, and he ascended to God. And so they heard this in their own language, and they responded in repentance and baptism. 3,000 were added to their number that day. What an amazing birth, right? So you see the growth and the health of the church. They saw themselves, it saw itself as continuing the mission of Jesus to build the kingdom of God. The apostles' teaching was central to the health of the church. And so you see the apostles were really critical in the anticipation. They were really important in the birth. And now the apostles are very involved in the teaching and the health of the church. So you see that theme coming through from anticipation to birth to nurture. They broke bread together and celebrated the Lord's Supper together. And this was so important. They met together, and this idea of meeting together and breaking bread together was something they experienced with Jesus. And now it was part of the nurture and care that they had in their church. They formed a dynamic fellowship where physical needs were met. Of people were being met. And this was dynamic, if you can think of that. But it's also, you think of the compassion that Jesus had, that Jesus showed. He walked with his disciples through various towns and villages, and the compassion that Jesus showed. And here now the church is taking that same compassion, and they're showing it to people within their community, to people outside their community. And you can follow this theme as the church grows and becomes who it is becoming. And so this is really a powerful theme that comes through. They developed a deep prayer life. And prayer is so important in the life of Jesus. He would take his disciples out and pray. He said, let's go out here for a while. Let's pray. He taught us how to pray, especially the Lord's Prayer as we know it today. And they included prayer as such an important part of their nurture and care, their nurture for the life of the church. And so that was another element that kept the church alive and going. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So where do we fit in? We know that God is continually active in the church in the person of the Holy Spirit. We know that the mission of the church is to build, continue to build the kingdom of God, which Jesus began in his mission and his ministry on this earth. Now the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ means that he is the king or the ruler of his kingdom. And as part of his expanding his kingdom, the church incarnates Jesus. We invite persons to know Jesus personally through repentance and forgiveness of sin, to be part of his kingdom, to be involved in his kingdom. And the life in the new community of the church is nurtured through teaching, through fellowship, through breaking of bread, through prayer, where Jesus is the center. This community does not speak one language. This larger community speaks many languages. Many years ago, I was a pastor in southern Manitoba, and somebody came up to me and they said, "You're a pastor of a Mennonite church, you can't speak German." And I said, "No, I can't speak German." And I started talking to him in Hindi, and he said, "What are you talking about?" Well, yeah, that's my second language, right? And when you get together at a Mennonite World Conference, not only the Mennonite Extended World Conference, but other denominations, this has gone international. Wycliffe Bible Translators seeks to translate scripture in other languages that haven't been translated so that they can hear this in their own language. And so the language is really important, because with a language comes culture. With a language comes the way of understanding life. And if we don't have that, we miss a great deal. So as I was thinking of this sermon, originally I thought I would just end here. But this morning as I was getting ready to come, another thought came to me. And sometimes these thoughts come to me kind of out of the blue. And so it's not something I've prepared a long time to think how I'd do this. So it may not come out the best, but I think it will. So as I've journeyed with the church here, I've been here for a little over two years. One of the items that the leadership has encouraged me to be involved in is, how are we going to get involved with another denomination? And that was something that was on right from the interview I had with the church leadership right on to now. And as we've continued on this journey, we've done some preparation, and we're, I think, in the anticipation part here. Last year, we made a decision as a church that we would open that door to become part of the EMC denomination. Now, it wasn't a total commitment. It wasn't a total, not everybody bought into it, and that's okay. But as you would, if there are problems in a pregnancy, the pregnant person would go to the doctor and say, "I need some help. Something's not right." Or the doctor would say, "Something is not right. Let's address it." And so as we anticipate moving forward, we need to deal with this anticipation, because anticipation in some ways has not gone as expected. And tomorrow night, as Dave mentioned, we were going to have some round tables. So my encouragement would be, please come. If you, and in this anticipation part, if you struggle with some things and you don't want to, and you're keeping it into yourself, don't do that. Here's a place to bring it on the table, to bring it on the table without judgment, and we can look at it and understand what's happening. What is God saying to us in this? And so I'd invite you, all of us, to come and to be involved in the process. Because, you know, if this is to go forward, then it has to go forward for a birth somewhere, right? It needs to be born, but we haven't birthed it yet. It hasn't been birthed among us. It's still in this anticipation stage. So come and take and get involved. As the early church didn't walk around these kinds of things, the early church got together and they said, "Oh, let's look at these issues so that God can do a new thing. God can give us a new direction." So that's my invitation to you as a pastor, as I've been involved here, not to judge anybody, not to bring judgment, but to bring clarity, to bring understanding. And where there's needs for reconciliation, we need to bring reconciliation, and so on. And so that's the power of the Holy Spirit at work among us, right? It's not to be caught in our own corner, but to bring it out and say, "Here, let's talk about this." So that's my invitation to you. You can accept it, or you don't have to accept it. That's your choice. But that's my invitation, to allow something where, as we go forward, to allow, if we make it through this anticipation, then we can anticipate what the birth will look like, right? Birth of something new. So I leave that with you. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that your Spirit is alive in our lives. Your Spirit is alive in our lives. And sometimes we like to hide behind issues and things. But one of the things we recognize is that you open the door for community. You open the door for reconciliation. And this can't happen unless we bring those concerns out in the open. And so we pray that this Monday evening will be a time where we can look at this anticipation in a way that is healthy and good, and that you will lead us through that process. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the church that has been established. Thank you for the community that has been established in Jesus' name here. And so we pray your blessing as we continue together. In Jesus' name, amen.